Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. The House passes legislation to stop President Obama's action on illegal immigration. Now the fight moves to the Senate.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The issue here is not immigration. The issue here is the president making executive actions that he doesn't have the constitutional authority to make. And that's where I think Republicans win enormously by making that argument. Now, in the past, both Democrats and Republicans have been guilty of ceding control out of the hands of Congress and into the hands of the president. And I think that it would be very smart for Republicans to take the high road here and return to the intent of the Constitution. You know, the Congress makes laws and the president enforces them.
This is not a fight between Republicans and Democrats. It's not even a fight over immigration reform. This is a fight over whether this branch of government will ever find the courage to stand up for itself. The same document that this and all presidents swears to defend gives this body certain tools. Tools like the power of the purse. And it's about time we use that tool.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The President of the United States has concluded that the war on terror has reached a point that we can safely release people from Gitmo. The best I can say about him is he's unfocused. That's delusional thinking. The war on terror has reached a lethal phase, and it is insane to be letting these people out of Gitmo to go back to the fight.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. As we said in the beginning of the broadcast, Congress, the House of Representatives, has taken action to stop President Obama's unconstitutional executive action on illegal immigration and trying to really rewrite the law. And we have to remember, this is not a debate about immigration policy. For us, this is a debate about presidential power, executive overreach. Do we allow this to happen? What kind of precedent this would set for future presidents, like them or not? So if you like what a future president's going to do or not, based on this, what else could these future presidents be doing? Could they be raising taxes, lowering taxes, things you might like, things you don't like, based on this same kind of reasoning? And that is why we're fighting this in court. It's also why we are supporting the congressional efforts. Now, the battle is now gone from the House of Representatives to the United States Senate. This is going to be a tougher battle. In fact, right now, members of Congress are meeting, and Republicans even having their conference in Pennsylvania. We have got to do a lot here, folks. One, to really make sure that this gets debated correctly in the United States Senate. I want to go to Than Bent, our Director of Government Affairs, because Than, that is going to be and could be very key here.
It's going to be the key, Jordan, how this is framed. I mean, the objections that you're hearing from some Democrats and, frankly, some centrist Republicans, too, are all rooted in immigration policy. They have a difference of opinion with some conservatives on immigration policy. Maybe they agree with the president in some regard. That's not the issue here. The issue here is the constitutional authority of the president. If this Congress thinks it was unconstitutional for him to do it in this way, they have to use the tools afforded to them by the Constitution to push back. That's what this bill does. The Senate ought to pass it.
Folks, we are going to talk about this. We want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The president also has transferred five more from Gitmo. We'll talk about that as well. And these decisions that are being made by President Obama, even while this new front on the war on terror that we believe is really people have got to get to reality here, especially our leaders when dealing with this. We'll talk about that. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. So this fight, folks, moves from the House to the United States Senate. It is far from over. The House was really the easiest fight. This is the toughest fight legislatively, and it's really the signal of how will Republican leadership respond. We want to make sure this gets debated, that they fight for this. If you want to make sure as well, call and join our petition, 877-989-2255. And if you say, hey, George, did you just say you want to even make sure that they debate this? Yes. Make sure that this even gets considered by the United States Senate. We have to make sure the Republican leadership's got backbone here. Call 877-989-2255 or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online.
Still in the state and reaching.
It's an impressive win. The U.S. House of Representatives has passed critical legislation holding President Obama accountable for his unconstitutional overreach in bypassing Congress and taking action alone on immigration reform. We asked and you responded, demanding passage of a measure to block funding for the president's unlawful plan. With a victory in the House, the fight now turns to the Senate, where it will be more difficult to derail the president's illegal action. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice in defending the Constitution. Add your name now to our petition demanding that the Senate put a stop to the funding, no tax dollars, for an unconstitutional immigration plan. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, we're talking about immigration. Also, the two other news items that deserve to be reported today by us, and we can take your phone calls on this as well. One, tweeted this out last night, this news story, and the Daily Beast kind of led this story, but others have now started to pick this up. Really fighting back the idea that any of these airstrikes are having a significant effect against ISIS. And what they found is that ISIS is continuing to gain ground in Syria despite the U.S. airstrikes. And they go through very clearly and kind of show how the U.S. military leaders have not been clear. When they say that there's some success or that they've been able to push back on these strikes, at the end of the day, they can't point to any specifics. Now, some are trying to say their main focus is in Iraq. But when you go through this and you look at it, you know, as we wrote Rise of ISIS, a threat we can't ignore, and that's still available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's in your bookstores as well. Encourage you to read that. But you look at this, folks, a strategy which is not getting a lot of attention, and maybe now it will because it's in the Daily Beast and kind of they walk through all of these different steps with the maps. And I encourage you to take a look at the story. It's on twitter.com/JordanSekulow. The size of where ISIS has doubled its territorial control in Syria. Doubled. Now, this is since the airstrikes. So we've been carrying out over $1 billion worth of airstrikes, and they've doubled the control and have not lost any of their key terrain. So nothing major lost by ISIS, and they've doubled their territorial control, including population control. There are some things that are getting tougher for ISIS, the oil prices, things like that. And again, there, that reminds you of how ISIS is able to operate. But the idea that this is just not a strategy that's working. You add to that what's happened just in Nigeria and these horrendous images. I also put this on Twitter of the town that was attacked by Boko Haram, and which is an Islamist group, and I'm not afraid to say that, a Muslim group. To join it, to fight with it, you got to be a Muslim, at least under their definition of the term, and that's what they use. And they wiped out. Now, the first report was 2,000. Now it's upwards of 2,500. And there are some in the Nigerian government who are trying to play down just the size because they don't want to really increase the momentum it looks like Boko Haram could have or the impact they can have. But the truth is the satellite images with the infrared show you the before and after, and the infrared picks up, you know, the body heat and where the people are, and you could just see the significant change. That's at twitter.com/JordanSekulow. You see those two events, whether you're talking about the assessing how ISIS has doubled its territory and these other radical Islamic groups, not just random extremists, radical Islamic groups. A plot was foiled against the attack on against the U.S. Capitol by a Islamic, someone who identified with the Islamic State. And so, again, whether it's here, whether it's abroad, whether it's Paris or a massive attack where an entire village is basically wiped out in Nigeria, these are all being led by one common thread. That common thread is the faith. The faith of those who are pushing this, and whether that's a minority view in their religion or not, they're recruiting people. It's happening all over the world. You know, I keep getting people, even they try to compare it to the KKK in the United States in the 50s, and you know what? The truth is, though, that was not even a worldwide movement. As bad as that was, as wrong as it was, as much as it should be denounced and criminalized as it was, and basically eradicated as it has been. That was not worldwide. That wasn't happening in churches across the whole world. That's the different threat we're facing here. So when people try to distract from what were the issue of the day and try to say, well, look about what happened then, or pointing back to other problems in the past, that's not this threat. This is a new kind of threat, and new in the sense of for most of us, you know, since the 1990s, but really for most Americans, it was the September 11th attack. And, of course, the Israelis who have been fighting back this fight for years. And this is while President Obama decides, let's release more people from Gitmo, and let's release them to next door to Yemen, while you've got al-Qaeda in Yemen, al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, claiming responsibility for the terror attacks in Paris. And Lindsey Graham had this to say, Senator Graham had this to say about this decision and releasing and the war on terror and how this administration is fighting. Take a listen. I want to get your comments on this by 18.
The President of the United States has concluded that the war on terror has reached a point that we can safely release people from Gitmo. The best I can say about him is he's unfocused. That's delusional thinking. The war on terror has reached a lethal phase, and it is insane to be letting these people out of Gitmo to go back to the fight.
Folks, again, we are going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. I encourage you to call to talk to us. This fight now moves. Now, the immigration fight now moves to the United States Senate. I want to reset the stage for you here because there are some issues. I think that this has got – people have got to be known – they got to know about this because there are some issues in this that could really be – have to be refought at the United States Senate, put it that way.
Yeah, really, all of the issues on the immigration piece. Remember, the underlying piece of legislation here is a funding bill for the Department of Homeland Security. So that is, in all reality, that's a bill that needs to move forward. I mean, the funding for the Homeland Security needs to move forward. The pieces that deal with the president's action on immigration, his executive actions that clearly violate the separation of powers in the United States Constitution, those were added by amendment. And, Jordan, we've laid this out, but the key one was the amendment added by Robert Atterholt from Alabama. That is the amendment that made it clear that what the president did had no rooting in either statutory or constitutional authority, and it says that none of the dollars will be used to implement those orders. Now, there was another amendment by Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee that actually starts to roll back that DACA program from 2012. That's a substantive amendment as well. It doesn't directly relate to the president's action, but it's substantive. The other three amendments that were on there, they were good amendments, but Jordan, they don't have the force of law. At least two of the three don't, and the third one is sort of a tertiary issue there. So we've really got to focus in on the language of the Atterholt Amendment, because what I can see unfolding is a strategy by the Democrats, or maybe even some in the Republican Party in the Senate, to leave all of the other amendment language, strike the Atterholt language, and call that a compromise. That is not something that accomplishes the goal that's after. The language in the Atterholt Amendment needs to stay in if we're going to strip the funding for the president's orders.
Folks, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, we are taking your phone calls. Again, 1-800-684-3110. And the petition, we've got to fight here on this immigration issue. This is not going away. This is not, the fight is not over. It's not yet to President Obama's desk. We're not even to there yet. We've got the legal fight, but we've got the fight in the United States Senate. for all of those of you who went out in November and you've cast your vote and you sent this change to Washington, don't you want that change to mean something? Not just in the House, what we've gotten used to, but in the United States Senate now with, well, Republicans are in charge. They are the leadership. We got to expect something from that, right? At least a fight on these key issues where we know that politicians were out getting elected on these kind of issues and using these kind of executive overreach by President Obama to turn out the vote, to make people get excited about fighting and then kind of taking the fight to Washington, D.C., and not just giving up or sitting on our hands. So, folks, we got to fight back. We got to add more names to this petition. We need you to join. You call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org and sign our petition online. So it's ACLJ.org or call 877-989-2255. We're also going to talk Gitmo. We're going to talk about the Islamic State doubling the size of their territory and the situation in Nigeria. None of this. And remember, in Nigeria, the target there, Christians. I mean, those are Christian villages. They are the towns and cities that will not align themselves with these Islamic radicals of Boko Haram. Let me go to Thomas. He's calling on Tennessee on line one. Thomas, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Thomas.
Hey, yeah, I'm just curious as to why you people always insist on using the word radical or extremist. When you're talking about Islam, it's still merely obedient to the teachings in their books.
Well, I think here's what I would say, Thomas. Like that or not, that's a distinction that's not even being made by our leaders. So you say you people, but I mean, you know, people like President Obama won't even use the term Islamic. They won't use the term Muslim to even describe the radicals. And listen, I mean, there are places around the world there are Muslims. Not everyone is joining these groups. And I do believe it's a problem within Islam and it is permeating through Islam. And I think that's a fair statement to make. But to call everyone an extremist, to call everyone a radical, I think is too overbroad at this point. That does not mean, however, that the community, Muslims around the world, don't have a problem to be dealing with. And so that's where I draw the distinction. And whether or not the teachings followed or not, this is again, a problem we have to deal with now, and we don't want it to become. There are a billion Muslims in the world. That is not where we want this fight to go. We want this fight to be contained and stopped, ultimately. But can that be done when you won't even recognize what the ideology is driving this? And as we're having this discussion, you think this is a great time to start expanding our immigration laws and allowing more people in when we don't even track who's here now and we've all these new threats? If you don't think this is the time, call now, 877-989-2255. That's our toll-free number. It's 877-989-2255. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. We've got some lines open.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. It's an impressive win. The U.S. House of Representatives has passed critical legislation holding President Obama accountable for his unconstitutional overreach in bypassing Congress and taking action alone on immigration reform. We asked and you responded, demanding passage of a measure to block funding for the president's unlawful plan. With a victory in the House, the fight now turns to the Senate, where it will be more difficult to derail the president's illegal action. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice in defending the Constitution. Add your name now to our petition demanding that the Senate put a stop to the funding, no tax dollars, for an unconstitutional immigration plan. Call now, 1-877-989-2255.
That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're talking immigration. This battle, far from over, and it's really a battle, though the issue is immigration this time. The real fight is presidential power, executive overreach. Do we sit back and not do anything about this? And folks, I believe we have to fight back, not just because of the immigration debate, which we haven't really had in our country. We haven't had comprehensive legislation move forward. We haven't had that go through the normal legal process, how a bill becomes a law. But at the same time, we can't let that blind us to what's happening in this expansion or potential expansion of presidential power when it comes through to actually trying to have, you know, presidential legislators instead of Congress and then the president. And so this is an issue. It's being fought on Capitol Hill. It's being fought in the courts. And we need you to stand with us. If you'll call and add your name to our petition, a big victory in the House of Representatives. I don't want to take away from that. But we got the fight in the U.S. Senate as well. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org. Let's go to Abe calling in from Illinois Online 5. Abe, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh. Howdy. President Obama is not facing reality. America appears weak because President Obama is weak and his foreign policy is weak. And that's all I have to say.
Well, listen, I think that when you realize that our president, I think when Paris was happening, what did he do, Than? He went, it was a community college initiative. Not that he can't have domestic policy, but was that the time and place when, again, they want to ignore the real threats happening across the world. They don't want to acknowledge that this is a real problem. And honestly, in a move which is not good when it comes to president's leadership, they're kicking the can down the road, that's why ISIS has doubled its size, and he's spending his time talking about community college initiatives. Those are great, but this is not 1990. And this can be done without that kind of discussion.
There's no question it sent the wrong message on priorities. I mean, to be honest with you, Jordan, it just undercut his narrative, so he wasn't willing to go there. But I would even go a step further. I think this is what you get when, to the extent that you address this issue, you choose a policy that's focused on containment. I thought it was so good that you started the broadcast talking about the additional territory that ISIS is achieving. If you are not trying to defeat the enemy, if you're not trying to eradicate them and stamp out their influence, if you're just trying to contain them, there's only one way that ratchet can go, and that is an expansion of territory. So it shouldn't be any surprise that they're gaining territory, but it's what you get when you choose a narrative of appeasement and then a strategy of containment. This is the only direction that it could possibly go.
Folks, we are going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to join the fight on immigration, which is really a fight on executive power, I want you to call our toll-free number now. It's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. If you want to talk to us on air, the number you call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll go to the immigration issue, too. Dylan in Utah, line 6. Dylan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi,
hey, Dylan.
Hi, I just want to... Hi. I wanted to comment that the assumption being made by this talk show, as well as it seems by the legislature, is that the legislature, in fact, has the power to declare executive actions unconstitutional. However, that seems to me, in my mind, to be a constitutional overreach by Congress.
But they're not declaring it unconstitutional. They have the power of the purse. You know that. They have to come up with the budget. That's Article 1 of the Constitution, the congressional power. They don't declare things unconstitutional. They don't they don't decide. But they do get to decide if they're going to fund and what they're going to fund. And that's when the president puts at risk. When you don't have actual legislation, Dylan, and you don't have legislation and it moves to the president, he signs it into law, that's when the president gets into a situation where you are putting that fight on the table. The fight here is not Congress declaring something unconstitutional. They can take action because they believe it is unconstitutional, and their action is in the form of money because they control the power of the purse. That's one of their key, if not the most key function of the United States Congress, and that is what we're seeing. Does that make sense to you, Dylan? And just so I just want to make sure it's clear to people, Congress doesn't declare things unconstitutional if they don't like these kind of moves. They've got the power of the purse. That's their main bargaining chip and why we have a separation of powers. Without that, Congress is really just a blank check on what the president wants to do. Does that make sense?
That's true, of course,
but it
just seems to me that if they were actually truly concerned about the constitutionality of
they're fighting in court. I mean, we also have the court case, Dylan. So and members of Congress signed on to our brief. So they are also fighting the legal side of this, and that's how you fight the constitutional part. And then if you're talking about, well, if they believe it's illegal, if that's where you're going to in this discussion, then that's if the president, you know, subverted what the court decided. But then the key here is Congress can say, for whatever reason, they don't like something. It could be because they don't believe it's constitutional. It could be because they weren't even consulted correctly or they disagree with the policy. That's ultimately why the president has to work with Congress, because they control the funding.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, Article 1, first of all, is pretty clear that this area of policy clearly belongs to Congress. I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot of question about that. But when there is a conflict, when there's a disagreement between the executive and the Congress on whether or not an action is constitutional, the Congress has tools to push back. You said this very well, Jordan. One of them is very clearly the power of the purse. If the president does something that they believe is in Congress's purview, they simply just don't have to pay for it. And that's what the House did yesterday. It's what we're calling on the Senate to do. And actually, in this very segment of the broadcast tomorrow, Jordan, we're going to have Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma on the air to talk about a number of issues, including the National Religious Freedom Day. But one of the questions that he's going to address is what he expects the Senate to do on this. How likely is it to pass? But at the very least, Congress has to say, you've overstepped your bounds. We disagree. Ultimately, that decision may be made in the court, but Congress absolutely has to speak out.
Folks, we are going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Remember, the broadcast continues. If you want to add your name to our petition, it's very important. We need you to call our toll-free number now. That's 877-989-2255, 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. Now, before we go into the next break, let me grab one more phone call as well. Let's go to Kevin calling in from Rhode Island online too. Kevin, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
I'd just like to say this, gentlemen. They're killing Jewish people. That's what they're doing. They do not hate America, France, England, or any other country. They hate the fact that the Jews are there and that they control them. That's it.
No, I disagree. I do believe that obviously they've targeted Jewish targets because of Israel and because of the fighting there, and you see that in Paris. But the truth is, I mean, attacks on Washington, D.C., they try to carry out, the attacks in Canada, Australia, it goes to only some extent. And so, yes, there are soft targets that have been problems for years in these places. But at the same time, the real problem, that's kind of an I always believe it's kind of an excuse fight, a soft target fight. The real fight is with freedom and liberty. Remember, those editors at the newspaper in Paris, some might have been Jewish, but they weren't really religious at all. They didn't like many religions or any religions. So, folks, I think we have to be correct. And I'm not sure, Kevin, if you're saying, it's just a problem. And I do think there needs to be more security at those places, certainly. And we need to see an uptick and realize that can be a target. But at the same time, that is not the only reason to this fight. And I wouldn't blame anything on that if you're going that way. Call now, folks, 877-989-2255 or go to aclj.org.
Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice in defending the Constitution. Add your name now to our petition demanding that the Senate put a stop to the funding, no tax dollars, for an unconstitutional immigration plan. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Thank you. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I think that caller, too, is kind of muffled. I was trying to follow what he was saying. I do want to say clearly, if he was trying to blame the Jews for this, a typical kind of hate speech and a typical kind of racist anti-Semitic rant, if that's what he was trying to say, and you know, his initial comments were that, you know, that they're attacking the Jews, that's one thing, and I do think they target these radicals, Islamist radicals, target Jewish soft targets. They've been doing this in Europe for a long time, and there's, you know, unfortunately, Europe has kind of, because of this general rise of anti-Israel, anti-Semitic sentiment, has almost turned a blind eye, or at least not secured these places the way they need to be secured, and that doesn't mean that nothing ever will happen. But at the same time, we know from these attacks, we know from, the list goes on. The support for Israel even is just one of, a dozen issues. Just having freedom. The fact that women in the United States can walk around without covering their head. They can make that decision on their own. They don't have to cover their face. And they get educated and can drive cars. I mean, seriously, that's the point we get to with these discussions. All of that, and of course the fact that we're Christians. Remember the attacks on Christians happening by the Islamic State, happening by Boko Haram in Nigeria. I mean, the list goes on and on. I just want to make sure that was clear. We need to talk about all these issues. And of course, we're talking about in the sense of what we've got to fight, what we've got to face. I want to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're also talking about President Obama's immigration overreach. Carolla calling in from New York on line 3. Carolla, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes. Is this Jay?
Hi, thanks for calling. Yeah, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for all that you do. God bless you. I have my 2 cents. I want to tell
sure.
you. I have nothing against immigrants, okay?
Sure.
But the whole country is practically all immigrants, okay? We came here. We didn't get any handout, nothing. We did our 5 years, and we paid. My dad paid for my father, for himself, for my mother, and for me to become citizens. Now they want to bring in all these immigrants and just hand them the citizenship, and I want a refund. And I'm sure every citizen wants a refund for all that they paid, plus the damages of the time it took to become so, okay? And we all worked. They want to come in. I'm objecting to the thieves, not immigrants. Immigrants has nothing to do with it. Who wants to come here? Let them in. You want to send me a thief in my house? Oh, but they're here now. That's what the president said. But they're here now. Well, then let them go into his White House and let him go work and support them. Who is he?
Well, and I think you are expressing what we have tried to kind of capture on this show, which is that for the people who are here, and to kind of lump everyone together and say, you know, for the people who are going through the legal process, the people who are waiting in line, the people who are actually going to take advantage of the system, but also know that by taking advantage of becoming an American and going on that pathway, that there are costs, there are taxes, there are duties as Americans, and that's part of it. On the other hand, when you announce one of these deferred action programs, what you're really saying is not everyone needs to really apply for this. It's, as the president said, we're not going to deport anybody that meets these criteria. Unless you're a violent criminal, you're basically okay. And he announced that to a group of people who were asking him, you know, well, what if you don't meet that standard or that standard? He basically said, don't worry about that. Now, that's President Obama. That's not necessarily the next president. But it's setting a strategy I think is very unfortunate for so many people, like your families, like all of ours to some extent, everybody's family to some extent, but even for the new Americans, the people who are going through the process now, the people who have been working for 5 years in the United States, who have gone through all of those different steps, and yet we're going to allow more people, again, to subvert the system. And even that, they're not going through the normal process. They're getting deferred actions, so they're not having to pay that way and make the same kind of sacrifices. Call now, folks, because it all adds up and all of these different actions. I hope that kind of helped explain as well. Call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org. You can sign the petition online, but we got to fight here. 877-989-2255.
It's an impressive win. The U.S. House of Representatives has passed critical legislation holding President Obama accountable for his unconstitutional overreach in bypassing Congress and taking action alone on immigration reform. We asked and you responded, demanding passage of a measure to block funding for the president's unlawful plan. With a victory in the House, the fight now turns to the Senate, where it will be more difficult to derail the president's illegal action. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice in defending the Constitution. Add your name now to our petition demanding that the Senate put a stop to the funding, no tax dollars, for an unconstitutional immigration plan. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Right to the phones we go. We're talking ISIS. We're talking ISIS doubled their territory, the size of their territory. That article, the Daily Beast, had tweeted that. Again, they've doubled the size of their territory. You look at what's happened in Nigeria. Just tweeted that as well, twitter.com/JordanSekulow. You can see infrared images, just how many people were killed. This village destroyed by Boko Haram. Islamic extremists, Islamic radicals. How about just Islamic terrorists? And maybe that will, for those of you who don't like even using the term, only describe radicals. There are Islamic terrorists, and that is the banner that they all unite under. It's the banner they recruit under. It's the ideology that drives them. Let's go back to the phones. Jamie calling in from New Mexico on line one. Jamie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, thank you. I'm calling about the child soldiers of Syria and the territory that they've taken in Syria. The militants, they have closed journalists, and they have left the families there with a choice between a radical Islamic education or nothing. And they're forcing young boys as young as 8 years old to do beheadings as a part of their training.
And well, and you saw that the video they posted trying to show, you know, that this young kid who was part of the execution of two supposedly spies, Russian spies, as they were called, by ISIS. Yeah, it's full indoctrination. It's a little more extreme. And I mean in the actualities, not in the ideology, actualities of what they're doing, to what Hamas does in the schools in the Gaza Strip and their education process. You can see the kids parading around dressed up like Hamas militants, because the difference here, of course, is not just encouraging this, but is actually taking these children not as just human shields, but taking them as soldiers to the battlefield. And again, yes, it's outrageous. It's evil, Jamie, and I think that you bring up another point that we all have to be reminded of who we are fighting here, what they are willing to do to people, how they devalue life on this earth, and also all human life, and so, you know, this idea that we could just treat them as violent extremists and not figure out the bigger problem is truly unfortunate, and will be a strategy that fails. And don't just take my word for it. Go read the Daily Beast. See, we've lost, ISIS has gained double the amount of territory since these airstrikes. And even after Paris, our White House dances. I mean, dancing around even using the term Islamic extremists. Back to the phones. We'll go 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Lauren in Washington State, Line 6. Lauren, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, yes. Glad to be able to talk to you, and God bless you for all you're doing. And I believe our president has gone beyond being just a weak president. He's gone beyond just being a attacking the Constitution. He is actually acting as a dictator right now and getting away with it. And it's extremely dangerous. And in foreign policy, he's helping our enemies more than he's helping the people that should be helped. And so the Republicans need to get together with the Democrats and say, hey, this is a major, major, super major problem. In order to restrain this man, we need to get together and get votes in the House and the Senate that will overcome any vetoes that he might try to implement. Also, I have this question for Jay and for yourself. Isn't every federal employee given oath to defend the Constitution?
If you're talking about the cabinet level and private level employees, and even those who may work at governments, if you're kind of questioning, is it their fault? I mean, I think that, you know, Than, the idea here is one, we've got lots of bureaucrats. You can have that whole discussion. But ultimately, this is the President of the United States and his team that are driving what we may believe is unconstitutional and the fight that's happening in the courts. And so the decision, you know, to them, they are. I think that's where you have to get is they're not going out there saying, I want to violate the Constitution. They'll have a whole debate with you on that. That's why you fight these in court. And if you truly believe they are wrong on those issues, you go and you use the power of the purse in places like Congress.
Yeah, let's start with this with Lauren. I mean, he's correct that this is about so much more than immigration, and it could go to a number of different issues. You played the sound from Senator Rubio that said, you know, what if the president unilaterally decided to change the corporate tax structure? That's outside of his constitutional purview. And yet, if he went and did that action, it really wouldn't be that different from what he did in this case. I will tell you this. When I worked on Capitol Hill, I did have to take an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. I think it depends what sort of position you have, but it does permeate through Congress. And I think there's a lot of folks that really recognize this. On our brief on this issue, Jordan, are a couple of very high-level individuals, including the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Bob Goodlatte, who supports moving a piece of legislation on comprehensive immigration reform. He recognizes that this is about something much more fundamental. And by the way, you played sound earlier from Speaker John Boehner, very strong on this issue. He also supports moving legislation on this issue. So it goes beyond immigration. It strikes to the heart of separation of powers, and it will reach other issues if we don't stop it.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We got a fight here. Call our toll-free number. Add your name to this fight, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and sign this petition as well. It's very important, folks. We've got to continue this battle. Let's go to Bill calling in from Missouri online. To Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I just want to comment on the previous caller that was evidently blaming the Jews for everything. I'm sure that if he wants to feel more comfortable, he can move to Syria, and I'll be the first one to tell him goodbye.
Well, I think, you know what, absolutely right, Bill. I mean, the truth is you want to be in these places to try to blame people like that. You know, go somewhere else where you may find some, at least to see how you like life there, in a place that doesn't allow real freedom, in a place that doesn't allow real liberty. And ultimately here, you know what, we talk about that, but, you know, if you're going to blame anyone here, and who is really facing these issues? You look what's happening inside the Islamic community. How many Muslims have to get killed before Muslims say this is out of control? Why are Muslims allowing? I mean, think about what the the ambassador of France to the United States, and he said this on Fox News. And think about what he means here, because I think that underscores this real issue we're dealing with and the mindset problem in much of the Islamic world. By three.
As the French Prime Minister has said, we are at war, and we are at war with radical Islam. It means that right now that Islam, and in a sense the Muslims are the first victims, but Islam is breeding a radicalism which is quite dangerous for everybody.
And that's why I was just saying that those are the first victims. And so in a sense, and Islam is, it does have, you know, it's not an easy thing to deal with when you are being, you know, when there's this kind of radicalism and breeding ground for radicalism inside your religion. But when it's not just isolated, for instance, we're not just seeing it in Syria. The fighters are coming from all over. They're being recruited at mosques. They're being recruited from local Muslim communities. And so when you have that working worldwide and it's becoming a breeding ground, listen, you could say all day and night, we could say all day and night, oh, well, it's, you know, there's so many Muslims getting killed, and isn't really, it's not really, the problem is not just radical Islam, it's just radicals, it's just, you know, these small groups of extremists, but it's permeated through so many different segments of the Islamic world, both in the majority Muslim countries and in the minority Muslim countries, in places where the Islamic voices have not been the loudest, have not been the most vocal, and for a long time were not the most controversial either. It wasn't an issue in the multicultural societies. There were Muslims. Life went on. This is a problem we have to deal with now. Muslims have to deal with it too. But if they're unwilling to join in these fights, unwilling to be good allies in the fight, and I mean the communities from you know, top down and from the grassroots level up, that is a real problem we have to face. And, you know, and I do believe all of this underscores why these battles in Washington are important right now, because we go through one by one by one all of the different threats we're facing. And at the same time, our legal, the way we've kind of structured the legal processes for how our government's being run right now seems a bit out of control.
Yeah, there are clearly victims of numerous faith here, Jordan, but we can't deny that this is not religious persecution. I mean, you think about the massacres at the hands of Boko Haram. You think about the fact that ISIS is chopping off the head of children because of their religious faith. We have to stop pretending that this is not motivated by religion, because the simple fact is it just is. And Jordan, their ultimate goal is to bring that religious persecution motivated by their brand of Islam to the United States of America. We've got to acknowledge it, otherwise we are going to be the ones facing it.
Folks, we're going to continue to have this discussion. My dad joined Sean Hannity last night on his television broadcast. We're going to play some of that for you as well, talking about ISIS. So we want to, again, continue our discussion, but also encourage you to take a stand here in this fight against President Obama's unconstitutional executive overreach. Call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to ACLJ.org and sign the petition online. We'll talk to you in just a couple minutes.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. It's an impressive win. The U.S. House of Representatives has passed critical legislation holding President Obama accountable for his unconstitutional overreach in bypassing Congress and taking action alone on immigration reform. We asked and you responded, demanding passage of a measure to block funding for the president's unlawful plan. With a victory in the House, the fight now turns to the Senate, where it will be more difficult to derail the president's illegal action. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice in defending the Constitution. Add your name now to our petition demanding that the Senate put a stop to the funding, no tax dollars, for an unconstitutional immigration plan. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. If you have not yet signed the petition calling on the United States Senate to join the United States House and telling the president that he may not spend a single taxpayer dollar, whether they be appropriated dollars or user fees, to implement his unconstitutional executive order, I want you to call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at ACLJ.org. But, folks, one of the things that we've been talking about when it relates to the terrorist threat that we face is the fact that their ultimate goal is to inflict havoc on the United States of America. They have said that they want to raise the black flag of ISIS or Allah in the White House. They have members of ISIS have said that they will see us in New York. And of course, when the CENTCOM Twitter account was hacked just last week, one of the messages that they posted is, "We're coming for you, folks. The threat is real here, and we have to start acknowledging that." Jay was on Sean Hannity's TV program last night alongside Franklin Graham talking about this threat to our homeland, and I wanted you to hear that interview. Let's go ahead and roll it. Again, this is Jay and Franklin Graham on Hannity TV.
ABC in Washington is saying that a number of businesses have been targeted in the D.C. area, Jewish-owned, some racial things that they picked up on the internet and elsewhere. What do we know about that? Apparently, it's been a five-month investigation.
What we know independently in our reporting is that in the last 48, 72 hours, security has been significantly ramped up at federal buildings and other high-profile sites here in Washington, D.C., and this is part of this broad mix, if you will, not only on social media, but threats emanating out of Yemen against the United States.
Yeah, and they're self-described ISIS militants. Sorry, Catherine in
Correct.
Washington tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine Herridge, thank you. Joining us now with Reaction, author of The Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Cannot Ignore, from the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow, the president of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and Samaritan's Purse, the Reverend Franklin Graham, and also here in studio, Fox News contributor DeRoy Murdoch is with us. Welcome all of you. Jay, let me begin with you. President, the White House, they cannot utter the words radical Islam. Why?
Well, yeah, we barely got them to, you know, utter the word terrorism. The fact of the matter is what's happened and what the White House is sending out is a message consistent with their narrative, which is to never identify the enemy of actually who they are. And this is radical Islamists, jihadists, that are completely focused on doing exactly what they did in France, which, by the way, is much more of, I know Al-Qaeda's claiming credit for it. It looks like it's an Al-Qaeda in Yemen, in that whole area. But the fact of the matter is it's much more like an ISIS type of event. And you're seeing them come out of the shadows, come out of the caves, so to speak, and really engage their form of terrorism in this kind of public way. I think, Sean, the reality is the White House, you know, refusing to narrate, really point to the true narrative here, which is these are radical jihadists, is part of the problem in dealing with this enemy. You've got to identify the enemy to take them down.
You know, there are a few courageous people, Reverend Graham, and one of them is General Al-Sisi of Egypt, who actually went out there and said, I say again, and he said this in front of radical, in front of Muslim leaders, excuse me, and he said, I say and repeat again that we're in need of a religious revolution, he said. You imams, you're responsible before Allah. The entire world is waiting for you. The world is waiting on your word because the Islamic world is being torn, it is being destroyed, it is being lost, and it is being lost by our own hands. For him to say that in that region of the world to some of the very imams responsible for spreading this hatred, I thought it was an act of courage. Your reaction.
First of all, let me just say, Sean, I believe, I want to say something to all the Muslims that may be watching this that are confused and are afraid themselves. I want them to know that God loves them and that that Jesus Christ died for their sins and Christ will forgive them and heal their hearts. And they don't have to die in a jihad. They don't have to kill somebody else to please God. God loves them and he will accept them through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. And we look at the Islamic world, no question, what General Azizi said is true. The Islamic world is being torn apart by its own hand. But the problem is the Islamic world, the UN gives billions of dollars to the Palestinian Authority, and then they turn around, Sean, and they they teach hatred. They teach that you're to kill Jews and you're to kill Christians. And the UN and others have been helping to support this. And I think we're going to have to take a close look at this. And the United States gives money to this. And we cannot give, I don't think, any money to any country or to any group that supports the killing of any person innocent, regardless of who you are.
And Jay, I guess one of the important things that we got to come to grips with here, I mean, how all of this is interpreted by the radical Islamic world. Don't they see us as weak, as walking on eggshells, fearful to even print a cartoon even?
No, you're absolutely right, Sean. We are sending a signal not only of weakness, but of lack of concern. You know, you could argue and debate whether the president should have gone to France or whether it should have been the vice president or should have been the attorney general, but you had the leaders of the free world and some leaders of not so much the free world participating in this event, and this, you know, the worst example of leading from behind. But this lack of leadership, this lack of ability to call exactly what we're dealing with, what it is putting us in a not only a weak situation internally, domestically in the United States for these acts of terror to take place here, but it also signals very clearly that the United States is not dealing with this in the way we know how to do it. Now, look, Sean, we've got the best military in the world. We have incredible intelligence. But when they are handcuffed and cannot do their job, this is what you end up with, exactly what we're seeing. You've got, you know, there are a lot of people that are concerned right now that we could have an unbelievable eruption of this in Europe. And believe me, the United States would not be far behind. That's what they're trying to do. No leadership here. It's very dangerous.
Reverend Graham, you mentioned that you offered your faith, which is Christianity. I'm a Christian, as you are, or try to be, not as good as you are. But in fairness, if somebody leaves the religion, the Islamic religion, that's viewed as apostatism. And the penalty in many countries for that is death. So I don't think there's going to be a quick migration into another religion, because that opportunity doesn't exist for a lot of people. When you speak about Islam and you read the Quran, what do you read? What is it that tells you that this is not the religion for you? Because you've been very outspoken about it.
Well, first of all, Islam is not a religion of peace, and there's nothing in its history that gives proof to peace. It's a very violent form of faith. But Sean, I want people to know, the Muslims to know, that in their heart they can put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm not asking them to go out
purging
openly
Christians
and
all
denounce Islam. But I'm talking about they can do this quietly in their heart and just say, God, I believe in you, and I believe that your son Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I want to invite him to come into my heart, and I want his forgiveness, and I want him to transform my life. But they don't have to go out and tell their Muslim family what they've done, because they'll be killed. You see, about 89% of the Islamic world believe that if you change your faith from Islam to anything else, you should that should be the death penalty, and that the family can actually kill you, and the law will do nothing to touch you. They will take your life. So I'm saying they can do this quietly in their hearts, but and have that assurance, knowing that their sins are forgiven and that they can spend eternity in heaven, and they don't have to die in some jihad to please God. All right.
Again, folks, that was Jay and Franklin Graham alongside Sean Hannity last night on his TV broadcast. We will keep you posted on the situation in France. And, of course, if you have not yet read Jay's book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, I encourage you to do it, to get educated about this threat that we are facing. But as we close the broadcast today, we're really focused in on the United States Senate, asking them to follow the House's lead and block taxpayer funding for the president's executive action on immigration. It is unconstitutional. It violates the separation of powers, and the United States Senate should not send your dollars to implement it. Call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice in defending the Constitution. Add your name now to our petition demanding that the Senate put a stop to the funding. No tax dollars for an unconstitutional immigration plan. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.